I have a special guest to come up here with us before we begin the open sharing to give you a little bit more time to share. Jim McGrath, would you come on up? And Kara decided she wasn't going to come up with you. She's going to stay right there on the front row. Jim McGrath is a good friend, and this guy is an expert in butter and cheese. All right? He is. And so we had dinner one day. Let's come on up around this beautiful cornucopia here. We had dinner one time. I said, okay, tell me what the best butter and cheese is. And he filled me in on all of it. But tell us about you and your family, Jim.
You bet, Mickey. We've been blessed to be here fellowship for almost 8 years and have grown every step of the way. And one of the things, Mickey, that we marvel about is every time we drive through Northwest Arkansas, it seems like there's a new road paved, a new building going up. The growth here is just unbelievable. And it's exciting to see the nations come here. And then the second thing that Karen and I have noticed is we prayed over that the generosity of this church has let us have, enabled us to have a piece of property in Bentonville. And with the expansion of the Walmart campus coming on board and the downtown Bentonville, it seems as though the Lord has placed fellowship in really a perfect opportunity. We have got a campus that, had we planned it 25 years ago, we couldn't have had a better piece of land than what God has provided for us today. And so then Karen and I prayed over it. We said, well, what can we do? What part of a big picture? What can we help with? And we decided to do a couple things. One is we volunteer with Able and Bart. They're a great team, and they certainly have begun to mobilize that.
It's your cross to bear.
Yes, exactly.
Working with those guys.
That's right. And so we help with them. We taught a discovery class. But then we thought, is there anything more we can do? So we looked, and we said, we're going to start giving to Bentonville on a monthly basis. Let's be committed to that because we think that's important for us. Even though we live in Rogers, it's still a part of the great world, and we wanted to really be a part of it. But lastly, Mickey, I guess what was on our hearts is, how can we make it happen faster? I mean, when you look at the number of lives that are going to be changed once that Bentonville campus is open, selfishly, I don't want to miss a life. I want the Lord to be able to use the Bentonville campus in His way for His glory. But I want it to come sooner because I read this weekend that 10 people a day are coming to Northwest Arkansas. So they said in a month, that's a small city that's coming to this area. And I thought, let's get it done. Let's get excited. If everyone could do a little together, my dream is maybe next year at this time. If you're ready for that, we'd like to have the campus up and we'd like to start changing lives in that area more than we can today. So that's our dream. That's our hope. And that's our privilege to be part of this movement.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much, Jim and Kara. You know, I heard from Jim one day, and he was just overly excited about the possibility of seeing a fellowship Bentonville. And that's what we need here at Fellowship. We need thousands, just like he and Kara, who's saying, God's in this, God's doing this, and we're going to help make it happen. And it's not somebody else who's going to do it. It's me. It's you. Making that happen, wherever you live. If you live in Springdale, Little Flock, Bentonville, Rogers, it doesn't matter where you live. It's making a difference. Last week during the 9:30 hour, we'd sent all we could over to the other room, and people were lined up across the back wall around the side. And so I walked around the back wall there into every one of them, and I apologized that they were having to stand. Every person said to me, it's no problem. And they either had two responses. I should have got up earlier. Or this is a great problem to have. It really is. God has just continued to bring people our way. And that includes you and Kara. You brought people our way to challenge us once again. So thank you so much for sharing, Jim. And we appreciate you doing that. Would you thank Jim for me? And I'll remind you again, if you have not set up recurring gifts, you can go to fellowshipbentonville.org and look at that. And it's really going to be exciting to see this out there on that piece of property. And I encourage you, if you haven't been there, if you go up to exit 70, it's actually exit 88, but it's highway 72, take a left, take the first right onto McCollum Boulevard, and you'll go 0.7 miles, and you'll see Tiger Boulevard, and go 0.1 miles up just a little further, and there it is on the left. Get out of your car in the little prayer lot that we've created. Grab a ribbon out of the bucket, tie it on the fence, and ask God to do something incredible in that place. We need the space, but more than that, we want to reap the harvest of souls. Gives us more opportunity. And I would encourage you to drive down to Fayetteville sometime to see what God is doing there. They have two services at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday morning, and then a college service on Sunday night. And just watch what God's doing. It's incredible for us to hear the stories. Okay, let's get those mics out and come on down, those of you who are handling that for us. And if you would like to share, Steve Weber is one of our elders, and I'm going to pick on him. I know he's a thankful guy. And so, Steve, they're going to give you the mic, and you share what you're thankful for first. And I think I've done that to you before, but it just eases it up for everyone else. Hold that mic close.
Check, check. So make sure we're on. Well, Mickey, I'm thankful that you asked me to share first.
Well, thank you for volunteering.
You know, I was thinking about when you shared out in your truck this morning watching the sun come up, and I thought about that same thing about how God's mercies are new every morning as we look at the beautiful sunrise on a day like today and reflect back on all the things we can be thankful for. I was traveling this week, and I was coming back Friday back in town, and I was actually a little bit grumpy.
You?
And I stopped myself. Well, yeah. And I caught myself and said, what am I being grumpy about? Because my flight was on time. It wasn't raining when I was walking to my car. I had a really good trip. And I realized I was being grumpy about the most petty little thing. And it just reminded me that in our nature, sometimes we can be grumpy. Sometimes we can tend to get caught up in the little things that get us down. But then when we step back from ourselves and reflect on the Lord, we suddenly realize that there's an overwhelming waterfall of his grace and mercy and an endless list of things to be thankful for. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this church, Mickey. And I'm thankful for all the things that we have in our life. And so, again, overwhelmed with thankfulness.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you for serving as one of our elders. Our elders do a fantastic job on behalf of our body. And so would you say thank you to Steve for serving? And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Grumpy one of the seven dwarfs? Yeah. Okay. Let's look for Happy. Okay. Is Happy here? We got Happy right here.
Good morning, Fellowship. My name's Denise. And recently I learned that when a large church or faith-based organization loses their senior leadership, the senior pastor possibly, it takes about a year and a half to replace that person on average. So some are longer. And I was so thankful that this church is not like that, that we have transitioned so seamlessly. And I shared this information with my brother last week, and we got to talking one by one, naming people in this church that have been raised up through our Sunday schools, kids' ministries, and now working as senior leadership. It's tremendous, tremendous. Thank you.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, I've admired Robert and Carolyn since I was a little boy. That's
yeah.
Got someone back here? Well, a funny story about Carolyn Cupp. She's sitting right down here on the front row. And yeah, she didn't want to be recognized, but someone was here one day. They were visiting fellowship, and Carolyn introduced herself to this person, and she said, I'm one of the pastor's wives. And the lady said, well, how many does he have? True story, right? Is that Bob back there?
Yes.
Hey, Bob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm excited. You know, you hear about so many adults that do so many great things in our church, in our home Bible study groups, how great they are. But do you want to see a real joy? Stand at K2 and look at the high school girls and boys that are going up there with smiles on their face. They're coaches for those kids. And you know what their theme is? We're going to change lives. Hmm. I thank God for our children.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. Bob and Shirley, his wife, sits right down here. Now, they are not mad at one another, okay? But Bob bugs out early so he can be up there when the kids start arriving because he likes to greet them. And y'all have been doing that for how many years, Shirley? Quite a few years, she says. Yes, they have, as long as I can remember. Well, when my kids were like this, and now they have kids. So it's been that long. So thank you for your service to our body through our children's ministry. Someone else? We have Sleepy? No?
Hi. Like this? Okay. My name's Shannon, and I have a scripture I want to read. I'm sorry if I'm crying. Psalms 50, 14 through 15. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. And call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. You will honor me. In March, my husband was diagnosed with lymphoma. My husband, Chuck, had lymphoma diagnosed in March. And we've gone through, 6 months of chemo. And then we went to Omaha, Nebraska, and left our kids for a full month for him to have his own stem cells placed. He had a stem cell transplant. And so God brought my best friend, who stayed with my kids for a full month to take care of them. And then God is healing my husband who's here. And we have so many people from fellowship, our friends who have brought us dinner and called us and sent us cards. And this scripture God showed me before we went. And I, he doesn't want me to go to Africa. He doesn't want me to do things that are extravagant. He just wants me to give a thanks offering. And this is my thanks offering to God.
Oh, it's beautiful. Would both of you stand up? Would you stand up so we can recognize you? God bless you. Amen. Thank you for sharing. That's very moving. Thank you. Okay, Scott, you got somebody over here?
Hi, my name is Ernie. We just finished in the study of James. And since July, all I can keep thinking about is James 1, 2, and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And, oh, Lord, my life has been a country western song for the last 6 months. my wife got seriously ill. She's still in the hospital. We were looking at divorce. I lost my house, my car. My daughter moved away from home. I lost my dog. I got my dog. She's okay. But God is faithful. All these things just brought me to my knees. It brought me to rely upon him, to count upon him, to seek him. And the blessings that came from it, my wife is healing. Our marriage is stronger than it's ever been. The illnesses that I've been going through and my daughter have been going through have been healed tremendously. I have peace and joy in my heart that I haven't had since I was born again 26 years ago. All I can say is thank you, Lord, for your discipline. And, oh, man, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing publicly. Right back. Oh, right here. And we'll come back there.
Good morning. My name is Brad Bloss. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Ashley, and dad to three kiddos. This month, November, 2 years ago, my wife and I discovered that we had our third miscarriage. And ironically, the following Sunday, we visited a church for our sister-in-law. And the passage, the teaching just really, I think, spoke to me in that time. It's out of Psalm 131, verse 2. It says, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And the pastor really unpacked the weaned child and contrasted it to an unweaned child with its mother as someone that demands provision versus a weaned child that trusts in its provider. And that was really my prayer for the past 2 years, to try to have a soul that trusts in my provider. And fast forward 2 years to this November, my wife is 14 weeks pregnant with our fourth child. And man, that passage from Lamentations 3 has just been on my heart the entire month. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I'm just thankful for God's faithfulness.
Amen.
Good morning. I'm a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. I celebrate recovery over alcohol. My name's Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
This year, I'd like to give thanks for four years, 7 months of sobriety. Mm-hmm. And not just this Thanksgiving, it's day is Thanksgiving for me. Every day is Thanksgiving for me, for my health, my freedom, my real friends, my family who supported me, celebrate recovery, and the Lord Jesus Christ most of all for my journey to sobriety. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Got one more. One more right over here. Hey, David.
Hey, Mickey. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say that a year ago today, I experienced God's hand on me because I was on an innocent bicycle ride, had a little accident, and ended up in ICU that night with several injuries, and I'm all back, 100%, and on my bike again, believe it or not. But I've experienced God's hand because it could have gone either way, several different ways that night. So, you know, you never know when you're going to have something happen, and God's hand gets on to you, and it's great. Praise God.
Thank you, David. Oh, right here? Yeah, you have a mic? Let's get a mic right up here. And while they're bringing you a mic, do I see my wife sitting back there? You don't usually sit back there. Yeah, this is your spot right over here. So, I'm thankful for my wife. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, go ahead.
I just want to say that, reiterate what others have said about God is faithful. I grew up in a home where my mother came to know the Lord when she was carrying me. She was pregnant with me. And she is just a wonderful Christian woman. But my dad was not saved. And from the time that I can remember in my life, I prayed for my dad's salvation. And my mother always told me that God would bring him, my dad, to himself. And I never doubted that, never, ever. And my dad was dying with cancer. He was the most wonderful guy in the world, but he was a self-made man, and he didn't need God. And it took cancer on his deathbed for him to realize that he needed a Savior. And he asked Jesus into his heart. And that was just the biggest lesson in my life, that God is faithful. And the song we sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness, was sung at his funeral. And God is faithful. And that's what's on his grave marker, that God is faithful. And I need to remember that answered prayer as I continue on and pray for things. And I have little faith often, but I know that God is faithful.
Okay, but before you give up the mic, now, all that, tell us what you do. Yeah.
I'm a nurse, and I work at Washington Regional Hospice Home, and I get to minister to people every day who are dying and to their families, and it's a blessing, and I praise God for
that. Absolutely. And I know you see that as a ministry because we talked about that down at Wilderbarger Hospice the other day. And so thank you so much for what you do for families. So many of us have experienced family members who are in need of hospice care. And we are so blessed in this area to have end-of-life care that just makes so much difference for those families and our loved ones who are passing. The cornucopia, I love having this up here because it just reminds me of the bounty of God in our lives that is overflowing. If you've ever been to a third world country, you know that here in the United States, we have been so, so blessed. Christina Rossetti once wrote, "Were there no God, we in this glorious world would be grateful with no one to thank." Well, this morning we have the opportunity to say thank you to God. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture for you from 2 Corinthians that we don't normally associate with thanksgiving, but it's all right here. Listen to this for a moment. Now, let me give you context. Paul, after he left on the missionary journey, the apostles reminded him to remember the poor. Remember the poor. And he was writing to the church in Corinth from Macedonia. And so he's telling them that he's sending some brothers to Macedonia and he'll soon follow to make sure they're going to follow through with their promise to help the church in Jerusalem. So now you have context. He said, "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help. And I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give." And listen to this. "And your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident." In other words, we're just going to make sure, we're going to send you a reminder. "So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. And then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." Their righteousness endures forever. Their righteousness endures forever. "Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. We see principles of generosity in this passage. And I want to take just a moment before we observe communion together to think about some of these. The first thing is generosity assures substantial gains. Now we say, wow, so sparingly, reap sparingly, so bountifully, reap bountifully. We have to be careful with this one because we don't preach a health wealth gospel here. You know why? Because it's not in the Bible. You know a lot of people who have sown generously, but God just didn't make them rich, did they? You see, there's a different economy with God. There's a different economy with God. Just because you give to this or that doesn't mean that you're going to be just overflowing with riches. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't even have a house. What about Paul? Has anyone ever been more faithful to the gospel than the Apostle Paul? He left it all on the field. And yet he was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, left for dead, snake bitten. Just about everything you can imagine. Does a health, wealth gospel work there? Nope. Doesn't work there either. What about Trophimus? I love Trophimus. In 2 Timothy, Paul makes this one little statement. He said, we left Trophimus in Miletus because he was sick. Well, if he was sick, why didn't you just heal him? Because you see, sometimes God knows it's best for us to go through difficult circumstances. But our harvest is one that we might readily see, might not readily see. Sometimes going through hardship will take us where we need to be. There were a lot of years in ministry where I said, Lord, why can't you use me? Why am I having to go through this difficult situation and this difficult situation and this difficult situation? And when I came here, I was ready to get out of ministry. My wife can tell you. I'd already told her. I was done with vocational ministry, but God had different plans. But now I look back at all those difficult situations and I see in every one of them, I'm happy to walk you through it sometime. God was teaching me in every one of those situations something that I needed to learn so that I can do what I'm doing now. And so those difficult situations, we need to remember that the substantial gain that we might get may be a harvest of righteousness in a way we didn't imagine. Bad experiences can produce good outcomes. But we have to look for it. Motives matter. He said in verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. I had an old good friend, a country boy from Holly Grove. He died this past year, but he used to say, you got to give till it feels good. Give till it feels good. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. It's not between you and me or between any other person in this body or at this church. It's between you and God. But our motives matter. They matter to God. That we give from a heart of gratitude and love for Him. It all comes from God, doesn't it? Doesn't it all come from God? Look at the next one. God supplies both the means and the increase. It all belongs to Him, and we're just borrowing it for a little bit while we're here. And so the test for us, will we be good stewards of what He's placed in our hands? Corrie ten Boom used to say, I have learned to hold all things loosely so that God doesn't have to pry them out of my hands. Hold it loosely. Hold it loosely and look for the harvests of righteousness. And he said, God blesses both the giver and the receiver. He says in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You see, that's the real harvest for us. It's that harvest of righteousness. There is nothing more exciting than seeing another person get it about God. Nothing more satisfying for the Christian than to see someone else get it. I have a group of people that I've been praying for, a group of guys, a group of boys, where they're young men now that have wandered away from God. And you know what I've been praying here lately? I said, God, go after them like you went after me, because he made me miserable. When I was running from him, I couldn't sleep and I was miserable. I said, God, go get them. Do the same thing to them that you did to me. And once in a while, I'll hear that someone's come back, and that gives me more joy than a pot of gold. The pot of gold's going to melt. But the word of God and the souls of men endure forever. And then finally, God gets the glory. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. He's the author of it all. And I want you to look at this cycle of gratitude here. Out of the riches of God's grace, he supplies the needs of the believer. From a heart of gratitude, then, the believer shares his abundance with others. And then the receiver expresses thanksgiving to God, from whom all blessings flow. That's the cycle. That's the cycle of gratitude. God supplies, but we as believers have to do something with it. But our harvest of righteousness will be what happens in the souls of people who are blessed. Isn't that awesome? Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift to us. The opportunity to participate in what God is doing all around us. The most beautiful expression that we have of thanksgiving to God is communion. It's such a simple act to take the bread and the cup and to taste it. But the significance is immeasurable, because we literally step back into the first century with the brothers seated around that table. And he says, this is my body. This is my blood. Whenever you do this, remember me. I'm going away. But remember me. And so this morning,